completely to you.
A spell. Father God, again, we thank you that, again, it's not the things that we do for you. It's not the things that we say, all the times we've shared the gospel, all the money we give, all the time that we volunteer up. Not staying, you know, punctual in the reading of our word every day. It's not all that, none of that, that causes you to love us. That there's nothing we've done to earn your love. And God, we take peace in the fact that it's because of that there's nothing we can do to lose it. But God, you have showered your love upon us freely. And it's not about what have we done for you, but an acceptance of what you've done for us. And so God, I pray that we would tangibly, through the living of our lives, carry the same worship to it. Where because we are loved, because we are loved first, that we can go and we can live a life that shines, one that exemplifies this lifting of our hearts to you that we just sang about. So God, we just thank you that you are a God that is more than worthy to be sung to give our Sundays to give our weeks to, ultimately to give our lives to. It's in your hands that we entrust our lives, and we ask that you would use it to bring you even greater glory. And we love you and we thank you. May you continue to receive worship and glory through the preaching of your good word. And we love you. Thank you for loving us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated.
Morning. Would you join me in prayer once again? Heavenly Father, we have given you our songs from our lips, from our mouth. Lord, we want to surrender indeed, complete you to you, our hearts, Lord. Father, as we come to the hearing of your word, Lord, we pray that you would teach us to offer you our hearts of obedience. So, Lord, we ask that you will speak loudly and clearly to us this morning. We pray, Lord, the Spirit of God will work in our hearts and give us understanding of your will, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It has been said many times that taxes and death are two certainties of life. There's no escape from it, isn't it? If you are a working person, you have to pay income tax and Social Security tax. Priscilla and I lived in California for 24 years, most of our working years. In California, we had to pay state income tax. Some of the young people say, well, I don't pay income tax. But I tell you, every time you buy something, you pay sales tax, right? When you buy the $500 iPhone or whatever the latest is, you pay $50 approximately of taxes. If you own a business, you pay the business tax, the corporate tax, or the business occupation tax. If you own a home, you have to pay the dreaded property tax. You own a car, you pay the car tap tax, right? The gasoline tax, the road tax. In fact, if you buy an expensive car, you may have to pay the luxury tax. In today's green environment, the politicians are now talking about the carbon tax, right? The greater the carbon footprint you leave behind, the greater carbon tax that you have to pay. I think I can go on and on with the countless taxes that we all have to pay. Someone explained that the American flag is very symbolic of taxes. You see, you turn all red every time you think about, talk about taxes. And you turn white when you receive the tax bill. When you pay it, you turn all blue and all you see is stars. See, taxes are a way of life. Not only in our time, but I suspect since antiquity, maybe even since the beginning of time. See, taxes are collected by any government or governing authority to run that government, whether it's a great government or a small government. So as we worship God together this morning, two questions that we ought to consider. First of all, should Christians pay taxes to a government, especially when the government is a secular government or even an evil government? Second question, can a Christian pay taxes to a secular government at the same time still be faithful and loyal to our God? Answers to these questions are important for all of us disciples. Pastor Jim been emphasizing discipleship. And paying taxes, I believe, is part of our discipleship. It is a matter of responsibility. So I entitled my message this morning, Taxes, a Matter of Responsibility. We are continuing our study of Mark. We come to Mark chapter 12. If you have your Bible, it'd be good for you to open to Mark chapter 12, verses 13 to 17. And you can read along with me. See, in this text, a question of taxes, regarding taxes, were asked of Jesus Christ. How Jesus answered this question teaches us important principles for us disciples today. So our text. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. So is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we pay?" But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought the coin and he asked them, "Whose image is it and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they reply. Then Jesus said to them, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." And the people were amazed at him. My outline this morning, Billy, can you advance it, please? Taxes to Caesar, taxes to government, and taxes to God's kingdom. My 3 points. First of all, taxes to Caesar. As you read in this text is all about paying taxes. Here, Jesus Christ had another encounter with his enemies, this time with the Pharisees and the Herodians. So they use this question of paying taxes to lay a trap for Jesus Christ. It is interesting that these two enemies got together because now they have a common enemy. They have a common goal, that is to destroy the ministry of our Lord. See, ordinarily, Pharisees and Herodians, they were at odds with one another. You might say they're at the opposite end of the political spectrum. The Pharisees, they were religious, ultra-Orthodox in their belief and in their practice. In fact, they hated the Roman government. They thought the government was quite oppressive. They opposed any taxes to the Roman government. The Herodians, on the other hand, well, as the name implied, they were supporters of King Herod. As you may know, King Herod was not even a Jew, right? He was a half-Jew. We call him Edomian. I think the other half is the Edomite. The Pharisees, therefore, despised the Herodians because they supported Herod. The Pharisees thought Herod actually usurped the throne of David that rightly belonged to descendants of David. Now these two former enemies, because they have a common enemy in Jesus Christ, so they conspire together. You might heard of the term, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, isn't it? This is what's happening here. The two enemies got together to conspire against Jesus Christ. So they come together and ask Jesus whether they ought to pay taxes to Caesar. And as you can imagine, this would put Jesus Christ at a very awkward and very difficult position. If Jesus Christ had answered yes, he would have antagonized the populace, the Jewish populace, and the ultra-conservative Orthodox Jews. If Jesus Christ had said no, of course he would be in trouble with the Roman government. It seems like a no-win situation, isn't it? In my college days, we call it catch-22 situation. I don't know if we still use that term. Trouble if you do, trouble if you don't. Jesus Christ knew that it was a trap. So he even asked, why do you guys try to trap me? So Jesus avoided that ambush, you might say. The scripture said Jesus saw their hypocrisy. First of all, two enemies now gotten together. That's already a suspect, isn't it? Secondly, they try to throw Jesus Christ off guard by flattering him. They praise Jesus Christ for his integrity, right? Jesus, we know that you are a man of your word. You wouldn't lie to us, would you? So what do you say, Jesus? Should we pay taxes or not? See, they came to ask a question not because they want to seek the truth, but they want to trick or trap Jesus Christ at his words. Perhaps a greater question to ask was for them, well, Jesus, can we pay taxes to Caesar and still be a believing Jew in our Yahweh God? That would be a better question to me. And notice how Jesus Christ wisely moved away from the issue of politics and give them a spiritual principle. Jesus Christ asked them to show him a coin, right? A denarius. This may have surprised the Pharisees and Herodians. Might have thrown them off guard. They were wondering, how come Jesus asked me for this coin? See, they were expecting a yes and no answer, like a good lawyer, right? Yes or no, don't say anything else. Eventually, they produce this coin and showed it to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, well, what image or whose image is it on the coin? They said, well, it's Caesar's. So Jesus Christ answered this insightful words, give back or render, the older translation, to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. The Bible said people were amazed at his wisdom. So what does it mean when the Bible said render or give to Caesar what is Caesar? Well, first of all, a coin with Caesar's image on it implies that it was minted, right, by the authority of Caesar. So even by using it, already implied they were already willing to come under the authority of Caesar or the Roman government. since the Pharisees and the Herodians were the one that found this coin in their pocket, it implied that they have already submitted to the authority, to the ruling of Caesar. If that is the case, then they must pay the taxes as required by law, by Caesar's rule. The word give back or render, I like the word render, I still read my old translation. In fact, the New King James is still maintained this word render. The render has a better meaning than just to give back. Render also has a meaning of render but from what is owed. And that is the original word. The Greek word render or give back implies to give back what is owed someone. So Jesus Christ saying, give back what you owe to Caesar. Right? Suppose I give Pastor Jim $100. This is just an illustration. Don't get excited. I can give him $100 out of the goodness of my heart. Or I render him $100 because I owed him $100. This is what the spirit of this is what the scripture means. Render to Caesar what is Caesar, meaning to give back what you owe Caesar. See, any citizen of any government owes that government a debt, isn't it? A debt of service, protection that the government provides. The principle is same for us today. We are citizens of the United States, so we owe our government for their protection, the police, the fire, right, the national defense, and pay the government workers. And last and the least, but not the least, of course, we have to contribute to the social welfare, the social programs to take care of the poor and the needy. So in summary, Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and Herodians that they have an obligation to pay their taxes to Caesar. See, it is a matter of responsibility. We too have an obligation to pay taxes to our own government. And that leads to my second point, taxes to government. Give back to Caesar what is Caesar. Jesus is telling us that we have to give back, pay taxes to the government that you are in. Today, we all of us live in the United States. We must pay taxes as required by the laws of the United States. Today, we have the U.S. currency also, right? I suspect all of you have dollar bills or $20 bills in your pocket. See, the U.S. currency is minted by the U.S. Treasury Department under the authority of the U.S. government. So in the same fashion, if you use this currency to purchase anything, you are already submitting to the authority of the U.S. government. Therefore, you are obligated to pay taxes. Even if you travel to a foreign country, you exchange your U.S. dollar to a local currency, meaning when you travel, you must submit to the laws, to the rules of that government. You pay probably their hotel tax or any tax of the local people that require of you. So if we are living in the United States, we have benefited from this government, right? From the services that the U.S. government offers us. You know, right now, I receive a monthly check from the Social Security Department. Okay. See, for years, I've been working hard, doing my responsibility of supporting the older generation of workers. Now it is your responsibility to take care of people like me, right? Paying taxes, it is a matter of responsibility. See, in a different ways, we all have benefited from our government. So we have a responsibility to pay our share of taxes. Jesus already implied that when he said, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's. Because Caesar was government of that day. Jesus is now teaching us, pay your debt to your government. Of course, paying taxes is also a very strong New Testament principle. Apostle Paul writes in Romans 13:1, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Just a couple of verses later, Apostle Paul continued, this is also why you pay taxes, because you are under their authority. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Apostle Peter also teaches us a same spiritual principle. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to emperor or as supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. So one question often asked in conjunction of paying taxes is whether we ought to pay taxes to a government who is secular, right? Or even an evil, an unrighteous government. Should we pay taxes then? But as you read all these verses, it says nothing about whether a government is just or unjust. The scripture tells us all governments are servants, ministers of God doing his will. All governments are ordained of God. We may disagree with how our tax dollars are being used. For instance, many of us oppose the use of our tax dollar to fund Planned Parenthood, to promote abortion. Right? You know, Planned Parenthood, they do not only promote abortion in this country, but they promote abortion worldwide. Though you may oppose that, we still have to pay our taxes as required by law. Furthermore, there is a very serious consequence of not paying your share of taxes, right? You can be sure IRS will come after you with vengeance. They might even put you to jail. As the scripture says, they will be punished those who do wrong. Of course, we can disagree with how our tax dollars are being used. But there is a political process. There's a political involvement that we can participate in, even by voting, simply by voting, to change the government or to change the policies of the government. See, paying taxes is a matter of responsibility. People and the disciples of their days were required to pay taxes to Caesar. We today are required to pay taxes to our U.S. government. And all disciples, that's part of discipleship, to pay the government that you are subjected to. So as we are required to pay taxes to our government, or to pay taxes to any government, in actually, or earthly kingdom. The question is, how about God's kingdom? Are we required to pay taxes to God's kingdom? And that is my third point. I still say it is a matter of our responsibility. Let's go back to what Jesus Christ said. Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, but Jesus Christ continued, to God, what is God's? Jesus Christ said, render back to God. Give back to God what is God's. He is saying, Jesus is saying that we are to give back to God what is owed God. Do we owe God anything? Of course, we do not pay God taxes in our conventional sense. But all of us owe our God a great debt. Would you agree? In the Old Testament times, many tithes, the so-called tithes, were in a sense taxes to support the temple, to support the Levites and the priests and the works of God. And there were also tithes or taxes, you would call it, to take care of the poor at their time. If you recall, even Jesus Christ during his days, he was required to pay a temple tax still. There's this interesting story in Matthew chapter 17. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came and asked Peter, "Doesn't your teacher pay temple tax?" Jesus did not say, "Well, you know, Roman government is very oppressive government. Let's not pay. Or you shouldn't pay the temple tax." But Jesus Christ, just a few verses, 3 verses down, he told Peter, "Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." There's an example of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, paying the temple tax. And he also set an example for Peter to follow. Regardless whether we call it taxes or not, we owe God a great debt, do we not? Therefore, we are to give back, to render to God what is his. It is true that salvation is free. We are saved by grace, by faith alone, and not of any works, lest any man should boast. Right? We're familiar with that. Nevertheless, we owe God our new life. The blessings that we receive, the provisions that God has given us each morning. Yes, salvation may be free, but it has been said that it costs the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as a Roman coin had Caesar's image on it, you and I bear God's image on us, right? Humanity was first created in the image of God. Genesis 1, we know that story, right? In the image of God, the scripture said, he created the male and female. See, all of us, male and female, have the image of God in us. But unfortunately, you may recall Genesis chapter 3 already, that sin came into the world. Sin marred that image, you might say. But Jesus Christ came. He died on a cross for our sins. So our sins are now forgiven if you are willing to accept that forgiveness. And because of God's forgiveness of our sins, we are now once again what? Holy and just, righteous before the eyes of God. We are once again bearing God's image that he originally intended for us. We are image bearer, as you will, of God. So we as children of God, we are to live in life that bearing the image of our Heavenly Father. If we belong to God, if we bear his image, then we must give God what is his to begin with. Jesus Christ again said, "Render to God what is God's." See, part of true discipleship is to follow God's law. We owe God many things, yes. But you know what? We also owe God our obedience, don't we? The scripture says we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. We owe God that. The scripture says contribute to the saints. We owe God that. We are to support the ministry of the church and to evangelize the world. We owe that. The Old Testament prophets, Micah, love mercy, act justly, walk humbly before God. We owe God that obedience, don't we? Lastly, the kingdom of God is above all human kingdoms. So how do I summarize this message? Let me suggest to you three application points. And these 3 points for us to consider this message. Taxes, it is a matter of responsibility. First of all, accept and recognize that all governments are ministers of God. All governments are ministers of God. They are appointed by God to do His will, including our own government. We must therefore submit to the government. Part of that responsibility as citizens is to pay the required taxes. In the light of what's happening now in our country, all the protests that we see against our president, nevertheless, he is our president. Regardless how you voted. Even if we do not respect that person, we must respect the office of the presidency. Secondly, pray for our government. See, in addition to paying your taxes, our responsibility as citizens is to pray for our government, isn't it? 1 Timothy, Apostle Paul says, I urge then, let all petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for what? All people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and holiness. See, in addition to paying taxes, part of our responsibility as Christians, as citizens, is to pray for our government. Pray for our president, his cabinet. Pray for the Congress. Pray for the judges, especially the activist churches, that they will practice judicial restraint, as you might say. That's not right. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I think our deacon Derek tells us that the Church of Satan are now calling all the witches around the nation to pray against Trump. Therefore, it's more imperative for us Christians, regardless of your political philosophy, pray for the safety and protection. We can be comforted that our God is mightier, is more powerful than the evil forces of Satan, of course. As Apostle Paul suggested, doing this will lead to a peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. Instead of going out protesting, instead of going out rioting, let us pray for our government so that we can achieve a personal, quiet life and a peaceful society. Lastly, God's kingdom is our ultimate responsibility. In Jesus' time, Caesar was their lord, so they had to pay taxes to Caesar. Not only that, Christians were required to say, Caesar is Lord. Caesar Curias. In fact, many early Christians refused to bow and to Caesar. So they said, Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus Curias. This is the origin of this term. Jesus is Lord, in opposed to say, Caesar is Lord. But as you know, many Christians were martyred because of that stand. Yes, we may have human governments. We do have human lords. we do need to submit to the human lordship. But don't forget that the lordship of our Lord, of our Jesus Christ, is to be above all human lord. His kingdom is to be primary in our Christian life. Let me just close with Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Yes, we pay taxes, but the scripture clearly tells us we are to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Even as we are faithful in paying taxes, even as we are faithful in praying for our government, ultimately, we are to be faithful to God's kingdom. Ultimately, we are to seek God's kingdom first. I believe we as citizens and as Christians, if we seek God's kingdom first, then there is still hope for us to achieve a just and a righteous society. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words. Even though we may not like to pay taxes, it is your will and responsibility, not only to our government, but to you, to our churches, to the kingdom of God. So Lord, help us to be faithful to execute that responsibility. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite all of you to stand as we sing the song in response to the message. I do have a few words to say about the song first. It's a little bit of an odd choice. So the hymn we're about to sing is called Trust and Obey. It's ordinarily a song about submitting to God's authority. As we sing today, I'd like us to keep in mind the extended sense of submitting to worldly authorities, as Pastor Michael said, as ministers of God. So I'd like us to keep that in mind as we sing this morning.
On our way, while we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Let's pray again. Father God, we thank you again for this time of worship through song, through the preaching of your word. And I pray that we would not just hear and walk away, but those words would permeate deep to the soil of our hearts, and they would sprout and produce good works, fruit. So God, I pray that Sunday, as early as it is to get on Sunday, that we were spiritually filled, recharged, so that we might go forth from this place and indeed and be your image bearers to this world, knowing that our jobs are important, families are important, but first and foremost, God, would be the bringing about of your glory in this world and the bringing of people to a relationship with you, to add brothers and sisters into this family. So God, we thank you for this song. May the words, as simple as they are, guide us as we go from this place. We love you and we thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, and be seated.
Good morning, everybody. Just a beautiful Sunday this morning, although it looks warm, but it's still pretty cold. Thank you, Pastor Michael. It's a very timely message, because I think a lot of you, like myself, is preparing our taxes for April 15th. So thanks for reminding us that. So do as what Pastor Michael said, not what like our president's done. So anyways, we have a announcement from the youth this morning. Sonia.
Hi, good morning. So this Friday to Saturday, the youth will be fasting for 30-hour famine. And it's a fundraiser that we've been doing every year. We fast for 30 hours, so no food, but we can drink water and stuff, to kind of experience what it's like to live without food for an extended period of time. And during that time, and just around that time too, we'll be praying and fasting. And then it's also a fundraiser because we want to raise funds for the kids that go through this every day. So one thing that we're doing this year is a photo shoot fundraiser. Is it this Sunday or is it 2 weeks? Okay, yeah, so in 2 weeks, you can sign up for a photo shoot time. And we have like three different price points, like three different packages. So for $20, you can get just the digital files and you can choose like which ones you want to do and stuff like that. And we'll have different sets. And then for $40, you can get 4x6 prints and the digital package as well. And then for $60, you can get 4x6 and then an 8x10 photo plaque. Yeah. So if you have any questions on how the fundraiser works, we'll be holding signups next week, I think. Yes? Yeah. So yeah, if you have any questions, just like ask one of the youth or Pastor Jim. So yeah, thank you.
Great, so it's a really good way for us to support the 30 hours of famine, and if you haven't had your family photo updated, it would be a great time to do that. I'd be free to be in any of your family photos if necessary. So just a couple of things. Right after the worship this morning, there is Sunday school. There is the baptismal class right behind that door there. There's adult Sunday school class, and there's also the youth Sunday school. But before then, there is a little bit of time for fellowship. There is going to be some snacks, so definitely stay behind and just catch up with one another. There is a baptism that's coming up. That's going to be a joint baptism. It's actually on April 9th, not April 2nd. It's the week before Easter. And so for that particular Sunday, please stay behind. It's a joint baptism that's going to happen between 10:30 to about 11:15. And there's a great number of English congregation that's also getting baptized on that particular Sunday. And then on Easter, it will be a joint service between the English and the Chinese. So Pastor Jim.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for speaking to us of our responsibility, Lord, on this earth and also in heaven. Lord, thank you for just the freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States, the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, just the many freedoms. And Lord, we have a responsibility to uphold these freedoms and this government by paying our taxes and praying for our leaders. Lord, we pray for this country, Lord, as divided as it is, that we might find unity, Lord, not under a single president, but Lord, unity of purpose, of vision. I pray that we do pray for the president and pray for his cabinet, his leaders, that they would seek your counsel, that they would look to you, Lord, and make godly decisions, righteous decisions, that this country may turn from its wickedness, Lord, and seek after you. Thank you, Lord, for just being the God who is King of Kings, over and above every government in this world. And Lord, we ultimately put our faith and trust in you, that you will guide us and protect us and steer us in the way that you want us to go. So Father, we pray for our leaders, we pray for our country, and we pray for ourselves that we may submit to you. We thank you, God. Now may our God supply our every need in the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.